And we want to break into the chapter at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." And we trust that God will bless the public reading of his word to our heart. One of the buzzwords of today, as it indeed has been for perhaps the last number of decades, is the word freedom. Freedom. Everywhere you turn, people are in hot pursuit of freedom. People are fighting for political freedom. Liberal thinkers have been leading the fight for social freedom. The removal of all restraints and restrictions on the individual's personal freedom to do their own thing, whatever that might be. Substance abuse, sexual license, social unrestraint, intellectual liberty, to think, to believe, to educate. And so we have the drive within our society to open up the drinking laws, the drug laws, the push to remove the stigma from casual sexual activity, the whole sexuality issue, the feminist movement, greater freedom on abortion, on human embryology. But what's very interesting about this drive for freedom is the way that governments keep putting laws, restrictions in place in order to enforce these freedoms. We have the hate laws attached to sexuality. We have social behavior orders. And all of these laws say, in effect, that my freedom is your limitation, your restriction. Even in the area of the church, there's been a movement towards freedom of thought, freedom of interpretation of God's word. Now you can make it say whatever you want it to say, have it mean whatever suits you for it to mean. Or you can simply say it as something that's very helpful, but not necessarily binding. You can even deny the scriptures and still call yourself a Christian. The cry of the 20th century, as in the 21st century, is freedom. And people have and continue to pursue it in many different ways. But it has to be said that for all the mania in pursuing freedom, society has failed to find it. In fact, the search for freedom has led to less and less freedom and more restriction, because it has enslaved more and more. Why has this search for freedom been so futile? Well, the simple answer is because they continue to search for it in the wrong place. The Maker, who knows what's wrong and therefore knows how to fix it, says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He says, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." Real freedom can only be found through a knowledge of the truth. What Jesus is saying is the truth, that is Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," that he has that liberating effect upon people's lives. The person who knows him, the person who has Christ in control of their life, that person, and only that person, has true freedom. And of course, that's the complete opposite of all that the opponents of the gospel argue. Christianity, the Bible, God, these things are a prison. They're the ruination of life and of liberty. Of course, that's the devil's lie. And it's the truth that sets us free. Lies enslave and destroy. Whether you're one of those people this evening still searching for this elusive freedom, or one of those who think you've actually found it, what Jesus has to say here in John's Gospel about man's major mania, freedom, is relevant to you. Jesus says here in John chapter 8, first of all, that there is a bondage that exists. There's a bondage that exists. Jesus here speaking to a group of Jews who, we're told, believed on him. They believed he was the Messiah. He was in constant touch with God. But whenever he makes this statement to them, that the truth shall make you free, they get very annoyed. And they said, we are descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anyone. So why were they so annoyed about the statement? Well, quite simply, because by saying to them that the truth shall set you free, Jesus was in fact saying that they were not already free. They were in bondage. You can't set free someone who's already free. And here's the problem for a great many people. They won't admit to being in bondage. That's why they take exception to the gospel, to the word of God, because it clearly states that they are enslaved, that they're being held in bondage. You see, the Bible's all right when it talks about God's Son coming to earth, when it talks about his good example, about his wise teaching, when it talks about his love. Just as long as you keep it nice and general. But start talking about the cross and what happened there. Start making statements like, "Jesus Christ died there for you." That means they have to admit that they were in such a dreadful state that nothing but the death of God's Son could save them. And they don't like that. See, nothing quite condemns us like the cross and its necessity to redeem us. Wonder, have you ever seen yourself as being in captivity? If you haven't, then you're like these Jews that Jesus is speaking to. You believe that Jesus is God's Son, but you don't believe in him. Because that would mean having to admit that you're trapped in your sin. You won't accept the freedom that the gospel offers because you object to the implications that you're enslaved. You say, I'm a free person. I live in a free country. I don't have to call any man my master. Well, that's true. And political freedom is a wonderful thing. But it's not enough. It's not everything. You're still a slave to your own nature. You say, I'm free. I'm free in that my wealth has brought me independence. It has made me a free agent. True. And yet Jesus could say that the tyrant most to be avoided was wealth. Others claim to have moral freedom. And in the name of freedom, they desert their husbands and their wives and their children. They break the rules of common decency, but they're free. Are they really free to do what they like? I don't think so. Because in fact, they're in the iron grip of sensual desire. Plagued by that little voice inside. Oh, they try to drown it out with their pleasure and more pleasure, but every quiet moment the voice haunts them and taunts them and challenges them. Why is it that the person who starts out in pursuit of moral freedom always ends up going deeper and deeper and deeper into it? Because they can't get peace. They can't get free. And so they plunge deeper and deeper to try and quieten that little voice. Moral freedom? None of us have it. None of us have it. Because deep down within ourselves is our own opposition. We can't escape it. This person goes everywhere with us, follows us into this secret place, and registers our very thoughts and imaginations. He is our master, and we can't avoid him. He's relentless. And he's not put off by excuses. Oh, you say I'm already free? Are you? Are you? One writer says the greater number of sins a person is buried under, the more fiercely they argue how free they are. The greater number of sins a person is buried under, the more they argue how free they are. Can you really do as you please? If you think through it honestly, you can see clearly that we're all slaves. At the very least, we're bound to our own nature. Man is held captive by a nature whose every desire is to the selfish, to the wrong, to the evil. Satan may have a very long chain on you. So long that you're not even conscious of its influence. But it's still there. And he's still holding the end of the chain. Some people he has on a short chain. Others on a long one. But both are just as surely bound. Ah, yes, we're enslaved. Jesus' own word reveals this. He tells us in Matthew 20 and verse 28, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life in payment for their release. You don't give a ransom for a free person. You give a ransom for a captive. But captivity certainly exists. You might not like to admit it. But that doesn't alter the fact that you're enslaved. And Jesus makes it clear that you can't free yourself. He says, the truth shall make you free. We can't free ourselves, or we would have done it a long time ago. But we can be free. We can be free. There is a bondage that exists, but there's also a liberty that is real. There's a liberty, a freedom that is real. Charles Kingsley says this, there are two freedoms, the false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where a man is free to do what he ought. The false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where a man is free to do what he ought. Jesus says, the truth shall make you free. You see, a religion, a belief, a philosophy, a way of life that doesn't make you free isn't worth much. In fact, there's a form of religion that is really slavery. There are many who are religious because they're afraid not to be religious. They come to church because they're afraid not to come. They come to a place of worship because that's how they've been brought up. Some claim to be Christians, others Hindu, others Muslim. They follow a form of worship because their parents did so. They're bound by custom and fear. Certainly isn't freedom. Certainly isn't the freedom that Jesus promises. There's a lifestyle that's simply a form of slavery. People follow fashion because someone says that's the way you should dress. And if you don't dress that way, then people will ridicule you. People support political views, social ideals, because that's what the great thinkers and movers think. That's the way you ought to think. People follow social patterns so as not to be politically incorrect. And they're bound by custom and fear. Certainly isn't the freedom that Jesus offers. The freedom that Jesus is speaking about here dawns upon a person's soul in such a way that they know. They can say, I know. This is the truth of God. It has reached the deepest recesses of my thoughts, my feelings. It has stirred my conscience. It has moved my heart. It has given me desires for a purer life. It's given me peace. Everybody else may deny it, but I know that it's true because it's changed my life. That's the truth that brings freedom. What's the essence of this truth? It's very simple. It's this, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that dying on the cross, he fulfilled all that the law required. And he destroyed the power of death. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. By his sinless life and sacrificial death, he has broken the power of sin and he has cleared our debts. As the hymn writer says, he breaks the power of cancelled sin and sets the prisoner free. By the power of his Holy Spirit, a person is made anew, is enabled to start out on a new life, an eternal life. But you say, hold on a minute. How can I be free when I think about my past sins? When that voice inside taunts me about the things that I've done? I'm so aware of my guilt. How can I possibly be free? Because when I realize, when I believe that Jesus Christ has taken my sin upon Himself, that God has forgiven all of my sin because of His sacrifice, that before God my past is blotted out and forgotten. Because that's true, all the demons in hell can laugh and taunt all they like. But I know that I am free. I know they're powerful. But I also know a greater power. A power that has captured captivity, that has swallowed up death in victory, that has cleared my past and set me wonderfully free. You say, but that's all right. That's the past dealt with. What about the future? I still have to face problems. I still have to deal with temptations. I still have my old nature. How can I possibly be sure that I'm free? Well, that's all very true. But I can make sure of the future as I can of the past. Because the power that I'm trusting in doesn't just deal with the past. He deals with the past and the present and the future. Jesus lives and reigns, and through His Holy Spirit, He operates here and now in this world. My old nature's still there, with all its passions and its power. But now they're channeled in another direction. Where once they served self and the devil, now they actually are used in the service of God. All the passion and the intellect once previously used to satisfy my own selfish desires are now employed in seeking to serve God. You see, it's not just my past or some part of me that's set free. It's all of me. All of me. Past, present, future. That's the truth of the gospel. That's what's meant by the truth making you free. It's not a case of self-confidence. It's a case of confidence in Christ. The Christ who's in control of my life. We can rely on Him. We can rely on His power. We have no need to be afraid. He stands between us and our past. He stands beside us in the present. And He goes before us into the future. We're still weak, but He is strong. Our grip may slip. We may falter, but His grip will never slip, and He never falters, not even for a moment. His power is eternal, and in His strength, I am free. Again, to quote the hymn writer, from Him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death, shall earth or hell? No, 1,000 times no. I am His forever. Forever. Jesus offers real freedom. The ability to know and to love God as we ought. William Hendrickson was right when he said, a person is free not when he can do what he wishes, but when he wishes to do and can do what he should do. A person is free not when he can do what he wishes, but when he wishes to do and can do what he should do. You tell me that you're free? Can you? Do you want to live your life to please God? Have you the freedom that we've just been describing here? Here's a freedom, a liberty that's real. Real. It's worth having. Because there's a liberator who's capable. There's a liberator who is capable. How can a person be free? How can this freedom we've been looking at be yours? Well, as we've seen, it's one of the benefits of salvation. Jesus says in verse 32, the truth shall make you free. What does he mean by that? He's talking about the saving truth, a knowledge of, a belief in the truth of the gospel. That's what sets people free. For example, a knowledge, a belief in the truth about your own condition, that you're a helpless sinner. The truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God who lived a sinless life and died on the cross to pay for our sin. That he was raised again from the dead. That he lives forever in the power of an endless life. And he's able to save all who come unto God by him. The truth that those who leave their sin, their selfish ways, and come humbly to Christ and confess that sin, who plead for his mercy and his forgiveness, who turn control of their life over to him, who live in obedience to him, that they will receive and return cleansing from sin, everlasting life. This truth will make you free when you know it and when you act upon it. Jesus says in verse 36, the Son shall set you free. This freedom comes not through a cause, not through a philosophy or a church or a creed. It comes through Christ, who himself is the truth. It's salvation through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom is often won at a great price. And no more so than when it comes to our spiritual freedom. Because it cost God the life of his Son. And that makes it of infinite value. This freedom that God offers can't be yours by any other means. It comes only through saving faith in Jesus Christ. He is the only liberator who's capable of providing this freedom. There's a cross that sets men free. Free from the slavery of the law. The cross of Calvary. Unfortunately, sadly, many are not interested. They're more interested in freedom in the body than freedom for the soul. The salvation that Christ has to offer is the greatest possession that you will ever have because it brings true freedom. Why will you remain enslaved, bound by sin and by Satan when freedom, real freedom, can be yours? Surely everybody wants freedom. Here it is, freely offered. If you'll come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, put your trust in him, give your life to him, and you'll be free. Free from the power of sin in your life. Free from the penalty of sin in the next life. And one day, free from the very presence of sin in heaven with him. Jesus says that the Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. What more can we say? Jesus has said it all here. Freedom, true, genuine freedom. Freedom to lie down at night, knowing that if you don't rise in the morning, it will be well with your soul, that you've gone to a better place. Freedom to live as God commands you to live. Freedom from guilt
and the punishment for sin. Freedom from the controlling power of evil. Freedom from doubt and fear that you're not good enough to go to heaven. The freedom to be able to say with confidence, my sins are all forgiven. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and heaven is my eternal home. Have you got that freedom? Have you got it? Would you like it? And turn to Christ, calling Him to come to take control of your life, and it will be yours. The Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Oh, that God would enable you to know and to experience this freedom in your life, even this evening.